You know, as we were worshiping this morning, too, I remember seeing a video one time of some people that were under persecution, and their lives were being threatened and everything, and I watched them worship the Lord. And they were worshiping the Lord with the threat of being persecuted and even martyred at that point. And the tears were going and flowing, and they were looking to heaven, and they were focused on Jesus. They were worshiping the Lord. They had their eyes on there. And as I prepared this message today, Lessons in Worship from the Tribulation Saints, these tribulation saints were under severe persecution. And even today, many times when we are in severe trials and tribulations of life, we can also focus upon the Lord and worship Him because He is our hope. Amen? Because today, you know, we live in increasingly difficult times, as you all know. Things to be on rapid downward spiral, and don't get depressed now. I'm just starting out here. But the news is so discouraging, it can be tough to watch. There are economical woes everywhere you turn. Crime is at all-time high. Drugs are running rampant in our schools and our streets, and now the government's legalizing them. Political corruption and government intrusions are the new normal for our society, aren't they? And homosexuals are getting married. Babies are being killed by abortion. Deception is in the land. Christians are being persecuted. Jesus is being blasphemed and God is being mocked. Not a pretty picture, is it? Several current issues today naturally in our nation make us concerned about the future of our nation. So we need to hold our nation up in prayer. Even in the Ukraine this morning, they're voting whether they should go to Russia or not in Crimea. And we need to do the same and pray for our nation because nations are under attack right now. And we need to pray for America because America is under spiritual attack. And we need to hold this great nation up. I'd hate to wake up in the morning and realize there's somebody on our shores coming into our land to take us over too, to close us down. Amen? But you know something? I've got a peace because I'm a citizen of two different worlds, this one and the one to come. And that's why I have hope. I'm excited because Jesus in me, the hope of glory. We've got something to hang on to, and I praise the Lord for that. And so no matter what may happen in this old world, we who are born again have much reason to worship and to praise the Heavenly Father. But the lost people in our world, you know something? They should be curious why we have a hope and a joy, shouldn't they? When the things are going array around us and everything, and you hear people talking and fear and what's the world coming to, they should be able to see you and I as the body of Christ with a joy and a peace within our hearts and question that and say, why aren't you concerned? And what an opportunity to witness Jesus Christ to them. Amen? That should be always our ultimate goal, is always to realize that we have the lost around us, and those are the people that Jesus came to win, which you and I were at one time. Praise the Lord. In our selected group text today, we find a group of people who have come out of some darker days than we can't even fathom. And I'm talking about the group called the Tribulation Saints. The Tribulation Saints. And I don't want to know what the tribulation's about, but I tell you what, I know it was pretty severe when I read Scripture what's going to be happening. And so to set the stage in Revelation chapter 15, verses 2 and 4, and this occurs in heaven as God is about to send judgment upon the earth. It says, "And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." See, this is after the church is raptured, and we find that a great multitude will be saved during the tribulation. There's going to be a lot of people saved during the tribulation. I believe part of those people are people that you and I have witnessed to right now that we've shared the gospel, haven't received Jesus, but maybe as the tribulation unfolds, they will start to realize the Holy Spirit will bring back to mind what they were told by you and I. That's why you never need to be discouraged when you witness, say, hey, I never see any results. Well, maybe those results are going to happen during the tribulation period, and we should stay faithful where we're at. Amen? Praise the Lord. It says in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. How many? A great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, representing victory. Praise the Lord. And I tell you what, when we stand in heaven one day, some of those tribulation saints may know that we were the ones that shared the gospel with them. Praise the Lord. Isn't that exciting to think about that, that we get there and we see how God used our life and impacted somebody for all eternity? But I tell you one thing, people, it's easier to live for Jesus now than it will be during the tribulation period. And I'd rather do it now. I'd rather bend my knee right now than in during the tribulation period. Many tribulation saints, they're going to have to pay the ultimate price and give their lives for their faith in Jesus Christ during that time. They are they who endured the reign of the Antichrist, and they refused the mark of the beast. Revelation 20 and 4 says, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and the judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. These people resisted and refused to receive the mark of the beast and to worship the Antichrist. They refused, and they were beheaded for it. It's not going to be a pretty time. It's going to be a terrible, terrible time upon the earth. And in Revelation 15:2, we read that a sea of glass mingled with fire. And in Revelation 4:6, it says, and before the throne was a sea of glass like unto crystal. I'll tell you what, that's going to be beautiful in heaven. I mean, just that alone, it must be something to stand in there, that crystal clear floor, and they mingle with fire. That could be the brilliance of God radiating light coming upon this crystal floor, radiating and mingling and sparkling like fires. I don't know. I'm only speculating what it's going to be like, but I know it's going to be beautiful because God is going to be there in all of his glory at that throne. But also that the fire in verse 15:2 speaks of the fact that God's wrath is about to be revealed upon the earth. At this point, time is up. It's up. And it's about to pour out his wrath on a lost and sinful world. We need to realize that that is coming soon. It's coming soon. And you know something? I love preaching out of Revelation anyway because you get an extra blessing. You get blessings for reading Revelation. And you know, I love Revelation. The more you get into it, the more exciting it is because it's our future also. And it's God's victory upon this sinful planet that he's going to totally renovate, and it's going to be sinless. Isn't that going to be awesome? Wow. The saints on this glassy sea are praising. They have endured the horrors of the tribulation and are now safe in heaven before the throne of God. Just think of what they've gone through, and now they're standing before the God of the universe. They're standing before him. And in verses 15 and 3, these two songs, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. The song of Moses is the first song in Scripture. You'll find it in Exodus 15. It was sung by the children of Israel. It was sung of the triumph over Pharaoh and his armies in Egypt. And those people went through terrible things in their life too, didn't they? But here they sung the song of Moses before God. This song was sung at the Red Sea. The song of the Lamb is the song in Scripture. Last song in Scripture. This song is sung by the saints of God when they are delivered from the Antichrist. This is a song of triumph over Satan and all the enemies of God. This song is sung at the Crystal Sea. That's where it's sung, before God. The song of Moses told how God brought his people out. The song of the Lamb tells how God brings his people in. Isn't that awesome? That's what these people were standing before this magnificent God, were singing and praising God for after coming out of great tribulation. It meant something to them. And that's why I was thinking this morning, we worshiping too. We've got so much to worship this God about, and we need to put our hearts fixed upon him. See, these saints have experienced great deliverance, and they desire to worship the Lord. All of the children of God should do the same today, you and I. We have even more motive to worship God right now. Here are some facts. We don't have to worry about the tribulation. Isn't that something to worship the Lord about? We don't have to worry about the false prophet. We don't have to worry about the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, or being martyred for our faith, even though there are people called to be martyrs even in our world today. But we don't have to worry about all those terrifying things that are coming upon the earth. A great tribulation. We're going to be gone. We've got something to worship God for. We have a greater privilege than these tribulation saints. You know what that is, people? We're the bride of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. We're going out. Jesus is coming for us. See, worship's not a simple routine or a tradition or a habit, even though it becomes that after a while. It's something we do to fill. It's not something we do to fill in the time for the preacher so he doesn't preach very long. Is it? Because I'll get ornery and just preach longer if it does. No, I'm just kidding. I would not do that because we worship the Lord. See, worship's not about the worship leaders, the instruments, the testimonies, the type of music. True worship is all about God. When we come before God to worship, we need to fix our hearts and minds upon him only. And it's hard sometimes to kick out the garbage from the week before. But I tell you what, when we come, all corporately, we come and we worship the Lord. That's what we need to do. Let's look at the word worship in the Bible. Worship in the Hebrew is shakah, means to bow, fall down flat, humbly, beseech, literally to lay prostrate before God. That's what it means in the Hebrew, to lay flat. And then in the Greek, it's proskuneo, which means to prostrate oneself in homage. That means to do reverence, to adore. And there's a common theme between both the Greek and the Hebrew, and that is that there's reverence and humility and adoration to God. And we don't see a lot of that today. The church has lost sight of worship somewhere along the line. They've lost the sight of that, that when we come before God, we're to worship and humbly come before him in reverence, and if necessary, lay prostrate on the floor as we worship him and stand before him. See, we think if we come in and sing along for a few songs that we've offered worship, and many times we haven't. Because even while we're worshiping, many times we've got things going through our heads, what we did last week or the things we got to look forward to or situations in our life that are dragging us down, and we're not focusing up on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we're really not giving God the true worship that he deserves. And until we can get that garbage out of our thoughts and minds and everything and focus totally upon Jesus and totally worship him, that you just sense his presence and power within you, you'll see your life change dramatically and your situations and everything in your life. It's incredible. See, in true worship, we must find ourselves in God's presence. You know something? I don't know for sure, but how many Christians in our world today have literally found themselves in God's presence, in such a worshipful state that that's all they could focus upon? I remember as a brand new Christian, my wife and I were in a church too, similar to this, just a small church. But there's times when God would be there in such a way that we would just stand there and we would weep and we wouldn't even know why. And the unity in the church came together. And if you had aught against your brother, it's like God brought healing through the church and it was gone. And that healing power, because his presence showed up and it was so awesome, we could not believe it. And we just wanted to sit there and soak in it. We didn't want church to get over because it was God, it wasn't man. It wasn't man. It wasn't somebody leading them. It wasn't somebody just because a beautiful song was sung. It was God's presence that was there in our hearts and lives. And he did it. He didn't just be a respecter of persons either, did he? He moved upon the congregation and everybody stood there. You could turn around and people were just adoring and loving on God as he was loving on us. That was the power of the Holy Spirit bringing a church together in love and true unity. And that's what we so desire and desperately need today, don't we? Yes. Well, I want to experience that at Crossfire Assembly. I don't want to just come in and say, boy, didn't we sing some great songs today? That means nothing. That means nothing. A.W. Tozer said, worship is to feel in your heart and express in some appropriate manner humbling but delightful sense of admiring awe and astonished wonder and overpowering love in the presence of that most ancient mystery, that mystery which philosophers call the first cause, but which we call our Father who is in heaven. Folks, I'm tired of the hype, aren't you? Aren't you tired of the hype? I am. This isn't the real worshiping of God today that we have in the land. We need the real worshiping of God. I'm tired of the routines, just going through routine. I want to see the power and the move of God. I want to see me, I'm talking about me too, literally, truly worshiping God from the depth of my being and not even knowing anybody else is around me. That's true worship because it's all about Jesus. When we say it's all about Jesus, that's who it should be, is all about Jesus and nobody around us. And I tell you what, it'll be an incredible time, and that time will come. I'd like to experience that before I get to heaven. Wouldn't you? Amen. Wouldn't that be awesome? Yes. Praise the Lord. And you wouldn't care if you're the only one standing in church all by yourself, because you'd be with Jesus. I want to see that scene that John paints for us and consider the subject of worship. Lessons in worship from the tribulation saints. How in the world can you get a lesson from them? Lesson number one, worship him because of his works. Revelation 15:3, it says, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. They were singing that. They were singing that before God in heaven as they came out of great tribulation. They were standing before the Almighty Father, and they were singing, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. It was coming from the depth of their beings because they were now in the presence of God. And they saw his works that he was doing even on earth, I believe, and is doing up on the earth. See, the saints worship the gods whose works in power and great glory. Number one, God's past works are great and marvelous. Did you hear that? His past works are great and marvelous. God's present works are great and marvelous. Even today, God is doing some great things upon this planet in the midst of all the trial and tribulation that is going on in this world. God is doing some great works, and we need to praise him and worship him. We can get focused on all the negative things that are happening in the church, out of the church, and all the things that are happening around our world, but we need to get our hearts fixed upon Jesus and sing with the tribulation saints, what great and marvelous works are you doing, God, upon the earth? And you know something? God's future works will be great and marvelous. Isn't that awesome? His future works. We can read about them in here. They're awesome. And we can sing along with them. We can learn from the tribulation saints to worship God in his great and marvelous works. We got to remember that. Our God is at work. He is a creator. And even while you're sitting in here, he is doing some work in your life, in my life, and in the world right now. He's doing the work right now that will be prepared for tomorrow too. God is doing some great and marvelous works. And that's why when we jump out of bed in the morning, people, we can say, Lord, great and marvelous are thy works. And we can sing it from the depth of our heart. And we can praise God. And that's hope because we have that hope because God is doing the works that he said he was doing. He hasn't backed away from them. He hasn't backed away. He's moving forward. We're going to move forward with Jesus. See, God's works arouse wonder and amazement in these tribulation saints. His marvelous work should amaze us as well. We need to be amazed by them, people. Instead of getting down in the dumps and frustrated and depressed and everything else going on in our lives in this world, we need to look at the works that God is doing upon the world. You know, some of those great works are the very prophetic things he talked about. You and I are visually watching going on in our world today, and we need to have a joy in our spirit. And like those tribulation saints, we need to sing to God and say, Lord, great and wonderful are thy works. They're awesome. They're incredible to watch happening. The past saints would give anything to be where you and I are at right now, to see those things come to pass, what was prophetically announced hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years, and now God's bringing them to pass within our generation. What great and wonderful works God is doing. His works of creation. He stood in the middle of nothing and took nothing and created everything. That's God. That's God. See, we go through our lives so much missing out because we aren't focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And this is the same God who created light in 3 days before he created the sun. Did you know that? Before he created the sun, he created light. His work of illumination. He sent his perfect word through his human prophets and apostles. He provided us a perfect, inspired record of his words to us. He gave us 66 books that inform us of the great past, present, and future. God did that. Number three is work of redemption. God sent Jesus into this world to die for sin. And for sinners, Jesus made a way for all who would believe to be saved. He made a way for us when there's no way. There'd be no way if it wasn't for Jesus. He made a way for us to be forgiven and delivered and adopted and justified and sanctified. God made that way. That's his work, that you and I could be saved. And because of Jesus' work at Calvary, we can be assured of a home in heaven. Are you excited about heaven? I am. I'm excited. I tell you, we don't need to be downcast. We need to be excited because heaven is coming. Heaven is coming. And God saves us. And because of the cross, Jesus made it possible be through his wonderful works. That's why these tribulation saints, they got to see the very thing. When they were up against the wall with being there, threatened with their heads cut off and their heads being cut off, they were worshiping God within a moment's time, standing before him and realizing that God was doing a wonderful work in their life all the time, and they didn't even realize it. Lesson number two. Worship him because of his character. Revelation 15:3 again, just and true are thy ways. The tribulation saints sung this song before Jesus. They were singing it. They just didn't say it like you and I do. We kind of mundanely open our word and we sit there and reread something. These tribulation saints, they were singing to the Lord. They were singing, just and true are thy ways. Just and true are thy ways. And these are the people who suffered unimaginable persecution for the cause of Christ, yet they proclaim, just and true are thy ways. And we can learn something from that, because through everything that you and I are experiencing in this world, we realize and can realize with the tribulation saints, just and true are God's ways. We don't understand all the things that are happening in our life, but we can say with them and sing with them, just and true are thy ways, God. That's who he is. See, that means that God is righteous and holy in all that he does. In all that he does. People today will ask, why does God allow so much suffering? We can't understand it, and we don't have the answers to everything, do we? Nobody does. We can't even fathomly think of what's going on in people's lives, because there's so much suffering in this world. But God knows. God knows. He does know. We must remember the character of God. Just and true are his ways. We need to sing that along with the tribulation saints. There are people today who will not worship because things haven't gone their way. They are mad at God because in their mind he has wronged them or abandoned them. We can all admit that there are things in this life that we don't understand in our lives that are going on, maybe even right now. We don't understand. I've done everything, Lord, according to your word. I'm obeying you right to the T, but things just seem like they're not on track in my life. Well, maybe they are. You just can't see from God's vantage point, because he's just and true in his way. You got to keep saying that and remember that. You got to remember that God is just and true in his way. And no matter if you don't understand it, God's ways are true and just. And they're going to come to pass. You're going to have the victory. I'm going to have the victory. I don't know how or when, but I'm going to have the victory. That's why we can say we are more than conquerors to them that are in Christ Jesus, because Jesus is in my life. The tribulation saints were standing before God singing it. There are some things we just don't like. Some situations and circumstances don't seem fair in life. But friend, we must have the mindset of the saints in this text and worship God because of his character. His ways are always true and just. They're always true and just. And then in the third lesson we can learn from the tribulation saints, worship him because of his power. Worship him because of his power. Revelation 15:4. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? They're singing this. It's part of the song. I wish I could get a nice tune going with it and sing it to you. But then you might still get upset with me. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? Thou King of saints, it says in verse 3. All earthly rulers and kings last for a short time. A very short time. All the tyrants in the past, they're all dead and gone. The ones that are living today, we watch some of them die and go into eternity even in our lifetime. And should Jesus tarry, the rest of them will too, just like everyone else. See, Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and these saints exalt his greatness. They magnify the only God who is worthy to be praised. And notice the question they pose to God again in verse 4. I want to say it again. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, as they sing that to him? The word fear, phobio, means to be of awe, exceeding fear, reverence. That's what it means there in Greek. But the literal translation of the word is to be frightened, to be alarmed. That's what the word fear there means. Who's not afraid? Who does not fear God? And when you hear it spoken today, when preachers especially say, you don't have to fear God. You don't have to fear him. The world, I've talked to lost people, which is understandable. I don't fear no God. I tell you what, see, when we come in to worship God and we come before him and we sense his presence and his might and his beauty and his awesomeness, we can learn that respectful word of fear just out of worshiping God. The tribulation saints did. They were experiencing this fear as they stood before this God. They looked at and realized they didn't. I'm just saying that in my mind. It's not in the Bible, okay? This case is recorded and try to used against me here. But anyway, I can just imagine him standing and think, we didn't know he was this awesome. The God of the universe. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? We need to be reverent. We also need to fear the power of the Heavenly Father. In fact, the fear, the fright, or the alarm breeds that fear. Reverence and awe. If you feared God, you would obey him. If you feared him. Jesus said, if you love me, obey me. But if we truly feared God, the way these tribulation saints were singing about, the way it's described there, we would obey God in every area of our life. And if we're holding something within our life and we're not releasing it and repenting of it and getting rid of it, when God says it'll destroy if you don't, we need to get rid of it. We need to fear him. We're going to stand before him too one day. And we're going to be singing that song, I believe also. That's my personal opinion. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord? Glorify thy great name. See, he's not just one of the boys. He's not the big boss man. He's not the old man upstairs. His name is holy. His name is to be honored, and his name above all names, his name is great. He's Almighty God and deserves the reverence and the fear and the worship from us. In fact, each part of the Trinity deserves reverence and fear. The Father is Yahweh, Jehovah, the great I Am, Abba Father. Jesus is our Lord and Master, Savior, the bread of life, the good shepherd, the Prince of Peace, and I could go on and on. The Holy Spirit is called the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Life, Helper, Comforter, and more, and I could go on. He is worthy of our worship. And notice another reason. Lesson number 4, worship him because of his sovereignty. Revelations 15:4, for thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee. These saints worship the only God who is worthy. One day we'll receive the worship of all mankind, people. There's going to come a day when every knee is going to bow and confess the name of Jesus Christ. I don't care who it is. It's going to be the saved, the lost, the Christian, the Jew, the Muslim, the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, and many, many others are going to all bow their head, and they're going to appear before him, and he will get all the glory, whether they want to say it or not. Again, I'm going to read Philippians 2, 10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And you and I need to bow before God our knees also. Things in our lives as the body of Christ that we have not bowed to God before. We need to bow to God before situations in our life and repent of things because Jesus is coming soon. Prophecy is showing it. Jesus is coming, and we need to bow on certain issues of life too in fear and get them out of our life to make preparation when we stand before him. But here we're reading the Song of the Lamb. And friend, one day you will worship that sovereign Lamb. You and I will stand together. In Exodus, Israel was delivered by the blood of the Passover Lamb. In Revelation, the tribulation saints were delivered by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah! It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us and washes us. Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of the Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The blood of the Lamb and your testimony. Your testimony. You see how important your testimony is when Jesus saved you? It was Jesus that saved you. It wasn't you. It wasn't me. I did nothing. Jesus did it all. He paid the price on Calvary's cross. The Lamb is the title of Christ most used in Revelation 28 or 29 times, I believe it's in there. The Lamb of God is worthy of worship. 15:4 says, for thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that, the multitudes that are coming before this God and bowing? I remember Reinhard Bonnke, I was watching one time in Africa, and they had over 1 million people at his crusade meeting there, and they could see the dust in the air as the lights were peppered back through the audience all the way back as far as the eye could see, and people all through there, whether they're worshiping God or not, they had their hands in the air and they're all shouting, praise God, hallelujah. And there was a roar across the land. God was doing a supernatural work in many hearts and lives that day. And I looked at that and I thought, just think, one day you and I, we aren't going to be just in little crossfire assembly in heaven in our little corner. We're going to be standing with the saints. We're going to be standing with brothers and sisters from way past to way future. We're going to be up there. We're going to be looking at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're going to be singing with the tribulation saints. We're going to be worshiping this God in all the trials and tribulations that they experience and that you and I experience. They'll be gone as all we'll see is him. Amen. And we'll be worshiping him. Aren't you excited? I am. I want you to be excited, people, because that's when you go out and you start to share the gospel, when you know you got something to share. But Jesus saved me. He saved me. Wow. And see, this fact is throughout the book of Revelation. Revelation 1:8, it says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saying the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 4:8, and the four beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. They couldn't quit singing it because God is so holy. They had to keep singing and praising and worshiping because he's so holy, so majestic, he's so awesome. We probably don't have an earthly word to describe this mighty God. And these beasts were doing that day and night. Revelation 4, chapter 10 and 11, the 4 and 20 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. What a magnificent God. What a magnificent God. See, our God is worthy of worship, people. He's worthy of worship. No matter how down you and I may feel, no matter what has not happened in our life that we thought should happen, we still need to worship this mighty God, because He is in charge of our life, no matter what we think in our own little puny minds. God has got a plan for your and my life, and He created us on purpose for a reason to worship Him. And we need to do that. See, we're going to see that all the things that we thought were failure in our life, God used these things in our life, our shortcomings that we thought that the enemy would try to hammer us down with, are the very things that God has taken us life to impact this world somehow, but you and I don't know it yet, but we'll see it in heaven. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. Lesson number 5, worship Him because of His judgment. Revelation 15:4, for Thy judgments are made manifest. They sang this before God. They sing of the God who alone is worthy to judge sin and sinners. And as we've seen, He alone is holy and just. God hates sin. This hatred of sin is the source of His wrath. Did you know that? That's the source of the wrath during the time when the tribulation saints were singing, wrath is on the way. Adam and Eve being cast from the garden. You don't need to flip to these. Genesis 3:24. The great flood in Genesis 6:8. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19. The Egyptian army drowning in the Red Sea in Exodus 14. Even the death of Jesus on the cross was the result of God's wrath upon man, upon sin. See, when Jesus was on the cross, God directed all of His anger against sin. The past, the present, the future unto His own Son. All of it was on Jesus. All of the sin of the world, past, present, and future, was upon Jesus as He hung on that cross. And God's wrath was against Him. We can't take credit for anything. It's all we can do is worship that King of kings and Lord of lords, because He is worthy. He is worthy. And the next event we see in Revelation is God's wrath poured out in the 7 plagues, the vials. The angels arrived and began to pour out the vials of God's wrath at that point. First plague was horrible sores that broke out on those who had the mark of the beast. The second plague affected the sea. It became like blood of a corpse, and everything in the sea died. The third plague affected the fresh water, rivers, and springs, and they became blood. The fourth plague caused the sun to scorch everyone with its heat. The fifth plague affected the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. The sixth plague dried up the Euphrates River so the kings from the east could march their armies toward the west without hindrance. And the seventh plague, the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air. See, then a shout came from the throne in the temple saying, it is done! It is done! Then light came lightning and thunder. Then an earthquake, the worst in history you'll ever be recorded, I'll bet. Babylon was divided. Every island disappeared. All the mountains were leveled. There was a terrible hailstorm. 100-pound hailstones fell on the people below. 100-pounders upon the people. Can you imagine what this earth is going to be like when that mighty God pours out His wrath upon sin, upon this sin-sick world? Can you imagine it? I can't even imagine. I sure wouldn't want to be here. And this is just a small glimpse into the wrath of Almighty God. And people have the audacity to talk to God the way they do. We as Christians have the audacity to serve God in the way we serve Him, with hardly any reverence or fear to Him, and think that we're justified because we're saved and Jesus is our friend. But man, when I read this, these tribulation saints, they were singing about a mighty God, a God that was full of wrath, that was bringing wrath upon the earth and judgment. See, we're not far away from this right now, people. We are to worship God because of his judgment. And in Revelation chapter 16, verses 5 and 7, and I heard the angel who had authority over all water saying, "You are just, O Holy One, who is and who always was, because you have sent these judgments. Since they shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets, you have given them the blood to drink. It is their just reward." And I heard a voice from the altar saying, "Yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, your judgments are trust and true." They were singing to God. God's judgments are true, just, pure, and righteous. And God's wrath may seem extreme, but he's the one that's in control, people. He's the one that's in control. And we can and should worship him for the fact that we shall be saved from his wrath through Christ. Hallelujah. I don't want to go through that. And thank God, because of Jesus, I don't have to. I received him as he asked. He chose my life. He saved me from the wrath that's coming upon this earth. Hallelujah. Rock of Ages was written by Augustus Toplady. After he had been trapped outdoors in a fierce storm, knowing of a large rock with a cleft in it, he ran there for the shelter. As he entered the fissure in the rock, the storm broke upon it with all its fury. Lightning flashed, thunder boomed, and the rains fell in torrential downpour. Toplady in his shelter was totally untouched. The storm poured out its fury upon the rock, but he was safe because he was in the rock. See, when Jesus was on the cross, the mighty wrath of God unleashed itself upon him. When we were in him, we are sheltered from the wrath of God, from the awful penalty of sin. That is the reason we worship him. That's the reason we worship him, people. These tribulation saints have endured extreme difficulty, but they remain faithful unto the end. And we need to do that in the world in which we live, should Jesus tarry, as we walk through the trials and tribulations of life, that we stay faithful to God and to worship him in the middle of them. Even when we don't feel like it, we do it because he's worthy. See, he knows what's going on behind the scene. You and I don't. We can get discouraged if we look at one another. But Jesus is in control. He's the final answer. And we need to worship him. We need to worship him. See, they teach us a great lesson, the tribulation saints, about worship. We are to worship God because of his works, his character, his power, his sovereignty, his judgment. How much longer will you be satisfied with the status quo? And I'm talking to me, too. How much longer will you go through the motions and play the game? That's why Christianity gets discouraging today to a lot of people. Did you know that? Because it's all they're doing is playing games. They get discouraged. They get their eyes on other Christians that are playing the game. And they get discouraged. They get their eyes off the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and realize that's the one we're supposed to be watching. That's why we need to keep looking at him. Amen. Not at each other's. When we do, we will get discouraged if we do. But what is it going to take for you to see God for who he is? Let's all stand, please. Warren Wiersbe defines worship as the believer's response of all that they are, mind, emotions, will, and body, to all that God is and says and does. I like that. So do you have any reason to worship the Lord, people? Do you? Are you offering him the worship he deserves? Can you, like the tribulation saints, find many reasons to praise his name? The tribulation saints, they praised him. If not, ask yourself this question, what is it going to take? Praise the Lord. Let's just all lift our hands before the Lord right now, and whether you feel like it or not, just do it, because it isn't for me. It's because we're in the presence of this mighty God that has brought many out of tribulations and trials and will continue to do so should Jesus tarry. And we worship you, Lord. You're a mighty God, Lord. When we're in the loneliness of nighttime and our hearts are aching, Father, Lord, you're there and you're doing a work in the middle of the night, even while we're sleeping. You're looking over us like a loving father. And Lord, when we're hurting, when we feel rejected, dejected, Lord, you say you accept us and love us. And you woo us to you, Lord. And we worship you because you're doing a mighty work in our spirit. You're doing a mighty work in each soul that's in this building this morning, Father. Even while we're sitting in this church building, some of us walked in here, Father. We feel cold in our hearts. But God, you're doing a mighty work and we can worship you. You feel empty. You feel that you're so far away. But God is doing a mighty work and he's worthy to be praised. And some of you are sitting in here, maybe something facing, and there's fear saying, I don't know if I'll make it all the way. But God's doing a work in you, a supernatural work that you can't see. And he's going to be there for you because he's just and true and he's holy. So, Lord, we come before you as the body of Christ and we lift up our hearts, our minds, and our souls. And right now, Lord, we focus upon you only, the mighty God, this God that is going to pour out his wrath upon this old wicked world one day. And Lord, we come before you, Father, and we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for the blood of the Lamb. We thank you for your broken body, Jesus, that brought healing for us spiritually and physically. Lord, we praise you. We thank you, Jesus, for doing the work on the cross so we didn't have to do it. And Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you. Lord, put a joy in these people's hearts in this building today. And Lord, let us never be the same, Lord, when we come back again. Let us have something in us that challenges us, our hearts, Father, that make us want to shout when we leave this place today. Even when we go back into our world, into our homes where there may be problems and issues, Lord, let there be something deep within us that says, Lord, I joy in you. I praise you, Lord. I glorify you, Father. For I know all is well because you, God, are doing a work in my life. And I pray that over this congregation, Father, that we be people that will share that joy and that love and that mercy and that grace to a dying world. And Lord, I believe you're going to call many into the kingdom of heaven as we stand faithful to you because you are the one who has done the work and is doing the work in and through us, Father. And now, Lord, I pray your hand of mercy and grace upon every person in here today. That you move supernaturally this week in their health, their finances, their relationships, their jobs, their homes, their marriages, their children, every area, Father, do a supernatural work. And Lord, we take authority over every satanic, demonic spirit that would try to hinder us from coming to you, Lord. And to worship you, Father, the mighty God, the only one worthy of worship upon the universe, the only one worthy. And so, Lord, we put our worship to you right now, Lord. And we worship you in everything that we say, everything that we do, and everything that we are. We worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Have a great time of fellowship. And remember, this week, worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You want me to sermon? Some of you are looking like you want another sermon here.